Do the next right thing to make your marriage sing.
All I ever wanted was to be in love with you. When your eyes met mine, I knew that this was really true.
Hello and welcome to The Music of Marriage
with Bob and
Evie. We're back with another topic about marriage, and you should have no more problems ever in your marriage after listening to us. Correct, Daryl? Don't we sound like experts?
You cleared your throat after you said marriage. Was there anything?
That was the brownie I just ate.
I think that's a Seinfeld. You know, he cleared his throat. She cleared her throat.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Oh, well. Yeah, we are going to talk about the new world disorder and your marriage. And there's a lot of things going on in the world today. I'm just jumping right in here. That we know are attacking us in our marriages. Our marriages are under attack. Marriage is under attack. And our marriages, we must fight back. And the third thing we'll talk about is how to make sure that your marriage has no lack. So that's a corny kind of poetic way of taking three concepts about the disorder in the world that is all around us, that we often are keeping to ourselves because there seems to be this sense of, wow, we're not allowed to talk about this. We have to go along to get along with whatever's going on out there. And I think we lose everything when we lose our voice and our ability to express our ideas. But we don't want to lose each other, and we can stay connected while we think about ideas and what's going on and solutions. That's called brainstorming. You know, in business, they sit around a big table and have brainstorming sessions, and anybody can say any idea for your new marketing campaign. How are you going to sell this product? And somebody will say, you know, I think a cow jumping over the moon, and, you know, it might sound ridiculous. Somebody else might say something else, but the point
is running away with a spoon.
you want to get it out there. And so we need to value other people's ideas and expression. And I think that's one thing that's being undermined, where people are being, for some reason, more fearful to have an opposing opinion because they're afraid they're going to get, you know, punched in the nose or something. Literally or figuratively. And the beauty of an orderly world where we're going by God's rules of putting, you know, others first is we can still listen to 180 degree opposite opinion or idea. And the trick is, it's like fishing, you know? How am I going to catch that fish? Is my bait good enough for that fish? Oh, that's not working. I try a different bait. But, you know, you don't just start beating the fish with your rod through the water. I haven't ever seen Andy Griffith do that. What was that show about last night? His rod had a name. Annie?
Old Eagle Eye Inn.
Yeah. He was fishing with Opie last night, and we were there watching in our living room like we do often. And the mayor saw that Andy was catching fish after fish, and he wasn't getting any. So he wanted to try to buy Andy's rod, Eagle Eye Annie.
It must be the rod.
But you see, one thing we do, if we're trying to fish, if we're trying to accomplish something, you don't just start whacking, you know, at the water with your rod. Like, get on this hook now. I told you, you know. It's kind of going to send the fish away. Well, same thing, right, in our relationships. There's an orderly, calm and peaceful. That's actually, fishing is a pretty calm and peaceful thing to do. Maybe we all ought to be doing it more because it puts you in the mindset of having patience, and then considering, you know, how am I going to get that thing in the water onto my hook so I can have it my way, you know, in the frying pan.
It's the art of attraction, which we should never lose in marriage. Right, Evelyn?
I guess so. Okay. Well, anyway, reality is what we're feeling every day in our life. And then there are ideas and concepts. And there's very sneaky ways that we can be shifted away from reality by being told about ideas that aren't truthful. You might call them lies. You might call it deception. Today, our world is characterized by a lot of deception. It's very easy, too, with a digital world to be tricky. You know, I mean, my granddaughter can get on there and look like a puppy dog to me and sound like Queen Elizabeth. So, I mean, that gets to a point where it's like, okay, this sounds just like maybe my faith in this medium is going to be reduced greatly the more they can do things like that. And is that deception, you know? At what level am I or you, what are we being deceived?
Yeah, and with because of technology, it's much easier to it's easier to silence someone without appearing to be rude, because it's done behind the scenes. You know, well, we'll just cancel their statement in the code of this website so that it doesn't appear, right?
That's right. And I can cancel you. Daryl, just turn him off when I tell you, just erase what I don't want to hear. No, I'm just kidding. But our marriages are under attack because we're being told things, and this also is marriage, or you don't need marriage, or you don't need to stay in this marriage, or marriage isn't this, it's that.
You don't need to get married at all. You could just live together and, you know, learn how to be compatible. Even though compatibility is one of the is an assumption that you can learn everything about someone very quickly. Where actually it takes a lifetime.
So after the last 50, 60 years, whenever, of the continuing moral shifting of the goalposts, shall we say, removal of moral connection in our society, moral conviction, or the need for it, it's more do your own thing. You know, if you're not with the one you love, love the one you're with, and all that kind of thing. We've gone even a lot further where the laws in our land even are being replaced or actually unlawfully shifted to where we find it, where a lot of us are saying, what on earth is going on?
They're being marginalized in many ways, or just ignored, completely
right.
Ignored.
And so there's this new world disorder, I call it.
We should specify what we mean by the law of our land. The law of our land is literally the Constitution. It's not laws made by fiat by some presidential candidate or a president or a ruling body or a court. It's the Constitution, and everyone who comes into office swears to uphold that. Well, now there things have shifted quite far from that direction, and well, have been for many decades, but the problem is the Constitution, for instance, was built on moral principles, and built on the concepts of fairness, justice, equity, and non-dominance of a governing body.
And when Henry Ford signed it, just seeing if you're awake.
Yeah, she's getting back at me.
When Henry Ford signed the Constitution, he said, no, who was it? He said, now this is only going to work for a moral and religious people, like guys and gals, guys
Jefferson.
And dolls. Jefferson. All right, like we went through a lot to get you this beautiful freedom here. Mm-hmm. Now, if you expect to keep it, you're going to have to adhere to certain moral standards, mm-hmm. which they adhered to, though they weren't necessarily exactly on the same page. But in general, they did. And that was God's principles of he created us and he gives us freedom within his framework that he says we should behave. So yeah. Our marriage is under attack in order to fuel further disorder in society, and that makes us vulnerable to control by evil, mm-hmm. evil people, evil in ourselves, the evil that's around us in our culture. And so our marriages are affected by that. Splintering the family is a key helpful part of that to meet that goal. You do not want people to feel connected even to their own family. Mm-hmm. You have to come up with all kinds of creative ways to separate and divide people, whether it's the way social media behaves or whatever. Books like Boundaries that tell you should stay away from your parents because they didn't raise you right, or they're doing something wrong, so they're now toxic, or stay away. So there's all these new unbiblical ideas that are being just thrust upon us, right, left, and center, in order to make it easier for the breakdown of society, so that instead of God being our Lord, who we serve, and that brings order to our lives. Instead of order, what we have is every form of disorder and confusion. And we see a lot of confusion in society. I would say the high school senior who waited on us the other day, who told us that he identified as a sea turtle, I would say that's an example of some kind of confusion that is not going to work very well.
So I asked him if he caught the trout that we were now ordering. No, we were nice to him. We were very nice.
We knew he needed love.
Yes.
He was a nice young man, young sea turtle.
Yeah, and we actually tipped him a good tip, because his service was good. Not because he identified as a sea turtle. But
and he told me that a sea turtle had to die for me to have that straw that he gave me. He did tell me that.
Coming out of his shell?
I guess so. That's a good one.
There you go.
Regardless, it's getting a little bit out of hand, we know. And so what we wanted to do is kind of address these things, because a lot of us are kind of quiet about it. We feel intimidated. And I think that those of us who do know anything better should help each other and say, hey, this is going to work better. This bait's going to catch that fish. Don't hit the water with your rod and try to make the fish jump up. We've got to think and discern. So all of this confusion and splintering of relationships goes against order and peacefulness in our homes. And that's our goal is, no one wants to have disorder. No one wants to go off to work feeling distance between you and your spouse. And no one wants to go to work having distance in relationships. And it's very difficult to have a situation and very uncomfortable, where you're not at peace with people. And all of us can usually think of at least one, two, or three right now who we think, there's definitely unrest, there's definitely division in this relationship. How can we fix it? We're under attack. And it's a spiritual attack. And so we have to do what our founding fathers said. If we don't remain aware of our spiritual responsibilities, our spiritual
roots, even
roots and origin, and our Creator, then what we will end up with is the kind of disasters. Well, man takes over, and fueled by the devil's hatred of God, basically. And so he's there. The Bible says he's like a lion prowling. Have you ever been to a zoo? And the lion's feeding time, and those lions are prowling back and forth and back and forth. Like if they could, they would eat you, through, you know, if you there wasn't glass between you. The Bible says that that's how the devil is, 24/7. And so we need to be on our guard for that.
And connect the dots, because all of this doesn't just happen because people have different points of view who are in office or in a friendship or in a marriage. It's because they start from very sneakily removing God from the public square and any talk of God. And so you got to start on a more generic level like that. Before we even talk about morality and distinctions and identity, let's just get rid of God first, and that'll, pave the way for what we're going to set you up for. And one of the biggest forces, of course, is to remove all distinctions that God has made. I made a list of these distinctions, actually, and so what they're trying to say does not exist anymore is distinctions such as God and creation, male and female, parent and child, husband and wife, student and teacher, reality and fantasy, rational and irrational, moral and immoral, truth and lies. These are all categorically being dismantled. So let's wipe out the distinctions so we can start with a clean slate and invent our own morality. And therefore, we'll be like God, right? That's essentially. And so, the majority of people in our day see anything that stands in contrast to this ideology as an assault on personal rights. And that's another thing they do to get very sneaky. Well, if you're against our removal of distinctions, then you're assaulting my right. You know, if you celebrate Christmas and Easter, well, then you're being offensive to certain other groups and cultures. And so all of this stuff is turning on its head what we've always come to know, believe, find true and reliable and useful, things that actually work, things that are actually real, but these distinctions are the underpinnings of our very survival. Institutions like marriage and the family are literally dependent upon them. And so if we allow this kind of talk to go on, then we are putting fuel in the fire. We should be standing up against it. We should be saying, no, this is not actually true. This is not reality. This is not how reality works. You can say it's how reality works, but you can't really live as if you are a girl when you are actually a boy, or that you are a sea turtle when you are actually a waiter. So, now here, I do want to be very careful, because this doesn't mean you don't show love and respect to people with different opinions and ideas, however far-fetched they are. We certainly are responsible to, before God, to show love and respect to all of God's creation, including people, regardless of their beliefs and ideologies. And so that goes without saying.
So getting back to the attack on marriage, it's really not so much an attack on marriage as just on humanity, because all of us, how we relate to one another is based on, you know, when we're born, we're born into a situation. We're born into certain parents in a certain home, in a certain place, with certain surroundings, people and otherwise. And hopefully, however, wherever we're born, our parents, and as parents, as married couple, we're going to see the responsibility that we have. You know, marriage is kind of, it's a duty, really. I think we quoted someone who said that recently. It's more than just, oh, you know, it's just about feeling good and feeling happy all the time. It's a societal responsibility. And we are all going to die, and so our children are going to be the next ones that are going to grow up and hopefully have learned from us, you know, how to be responsible in these areas, how to protect the cornerstone of society, which is the family. That was the first institution that God created, even before any government ever came along. So it's really important that we understand that what's happening today and then fight back against it, which is our next segment. But what is happening today is that the church even has shifted from, and we have shifted from, this integrated sense of security. There isn't this sense of security within our homes and marriages because we have allowed in different voices, and we have allowed people who make laws to say, you can get a no-fault divorce now. And as soon as that happened, all hell broke loose as far as, you know, the floodgates. You don't even hardly have to have a reason. And you can, you know, so what we see is that we run the path of least resistance, but we should be running the path of the most resistance.
What Osgenis actually said was that the modern way of thinking, which he calls modernity, has had the effect of shifting the church from an integrated faith to a fragmented faith, to a stance under authority, from a stance under authority to a stance of preferences, and from a spiritual view of the world to a purely secular perspective. And so the results are what really counts, and that is that we've been conformed to the world rather than transformed. There's this verse in Romans 12:1 that says, I appeal to you, therefore, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Romans 12:2. That's an important verse too, however, and how we live and think and treat our bodies and all that is more of an act of worship and service to God than going to church in that sense. But Romans 12:2, I'll try to remember it. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you might approve what is the will of God, the holy and acceptable will of God.
Testing is the key word, and I think we all are tested all day long. We know the things that put us on edge: lack of sleep, too much caffeine, whatever, too much alcohol, not enough money, whatever it is. And so all of these attacks on our marriage, from just our own personal patterns, but then from society as well, that is no longer supporting. I wouldn't even use the word traditional marriage, because there is no such thing as traditional marriage. There's marriage, and it's what God, who created it, made it. And so all of our attempts to replace marriage in our culture are really attempts to replace God and to do away with the Creator. So this new world disorder, we have to pick up on them. I think it's easy. It really would be easy for me to just say, you know, I'm just going to forget all this nonsense and just live my life. Why do I even have to bother figuring this out, but we see so many people caught up, and we see how easily we can get caught up and carried away by this current of disorder that's going on, that we may be are falling prey. Are we falling prey and allowing our marriages to fall prey to this power play? Are we quietly allowing the degradation of our marriage relationship and our culture?
And if our marriage is in trouble, do we follow? Are we conformed to the culture and even the new laws of our land that superseded God's law, like the no-fault divorce law, which we've spoken about in the past, which was passed in 1970, and that led down to the family breakdowns in epic proportions, really, just started flowing from that point. And so the moral guideposts have been moved in a dramatic way, whereas God's law was totally antithetical to that law. However, God's law is always above the laws of government, and as soon as that gets reversed, we need to be on our guard and stick with God's law, which is not no-fault divorce. And any other law that is against God's law, we should take care to submit to God's law. So we're submitting to God's law, not laws that are anti-God.
And I think because I believe the vast majority of people are aware of these things and know it, I think sometimes we're too quiet. We need to speak up kindly, and have compassion and just mm-hmm. try to help people to see, you're heading toward a cliff here, and how can we fix this? Testing to show yourself approved, when we take tests, whether it's at the doctor, what's our whatever levels, whether it's at school, master's degree, driver's test, whatever it is, there's things that we do to make sure we're going to pass the test. Mm-hmm. But when God says to make sure that you are not conformed to the world so that you will pass the test. So the whole point of taking a test is to pass it. So mm-hmm. when you sign up for marriage, it's a lot of testing. Mm-hmm. And it is easy to pass it if you have the help of the right moral guidelines with you. And I think of our grandparents, and I saw a photograph recently of this family with the covered wagon, probably the earliest camera pictures. I mean, they had a dog, the kid had a stick, they had a covered wagon, and it looked like they had one set of tattered clothing, and that's how they lived. And they were happy, but they knew what was important, and they stuck together for the sake of society. And here today we have all kinds of luxuries that they would never begin to dream of. And mm-hmm. who's richer, really? You know what I mean? So relationally, we've got to protect. So mm-hmm. there's a song that we wrote on our CD, which, by the way, you can download it on themusicofmarriage.com.
You can download a lot, many of the songs on that CD. All of the songs on that CD are on Spotify, and the CD is called Ballads for a Broken World, if you want to look it up on Spotify. But on our themusicofmarriage.com, there are a lot of the love-oriented songs and love life songs. And this one is called So Many Hearts Are Broken, which Evelyn was playing this really sweet lament on the piano that she was just coming up with, and I just, these words came to my mind, and we put them together.
the best of friends. So many vows are broken, the meaning has been denied. So many lives are taken, taken by the tide. They were swept away by a sunless day. The curtain
We're back with the Music of Marriage, talking about the New World Disorder and your marriage. Anyway, that we're doing all of our. We usually pick a different, you know, a handful of songs that from different genres and artists and things like that. But today we're doing all of our songs just because it happened to work. So anyway, for what it's worth. So your marriage must fight back with the power of truth and righteousness in order to combat this new world of disorder. And, you know, there's a Bible verse that says, wherever selfish ambition exists, there is evil in every form of disorder. And so how many trends do we see in society that are selfishly motivated and not motivated on behalf of what's going to make life nice for everybody else? You know, what's going to really work in our society? You know, not what's going to be politically expedient for my next election, or maybe we have a different set of ideology and we're a big company, like Google or something, and so we have the power to just silence you if we want. Or on, you know, on social media, and we have power to actually remove your posts, things like that. So there's a lot of silencing going on. But we have to not allow that to dominate our lives, our marriages, and our families. And we have to be on our guard at all times. So act on that power. What can you do now to restrain evil and restore good in your family and in your marriage? Recognize, first of all, that God is always in the business of redemption. So wherever you are on your journey in life, you can access his redeeming power over your situation. And even though circumstances could seem to dominate your situation in a way that's hurtful, offensive, and seemingly impossible, they don't have to have actual dominance and control over your marriage. You can have that control. And that comes through faith, a transformation that we all need to undergo on a daily basis, really.
Which is really giving up control.
Yeah.
It's really just get on your knees before bed.
That's where it starts.
Just lift up your hands. You don't have to lift up your hands. Just wherever you are. You know, I found that the power of prayer is, I don't like to use the word magic in relation to prayer, but it's like magic. It's unbelievable. And I think, man, if people would just pray, literally, you know, give me wisdom. You know, help me to have self-control. Help the situation with my husband to just smooth out. Help him to just be kind. Help me to be kind. Help this person to get well, to have a happy day, to have good news on their health. Ask God for the impossible. I'm telling you, he is in the business of redeeming. It's like he's standing there with his bag of goodies saying, hello, you know, like Santa Claus. Why aren't you asking for anything? Not that he's Santa Claus, we know that, but yeah. that is a real way to fight back with prayer.
And while God is all for your happiness and personal fulfillment, he's not for that at the expense of more important things that show that you have your priorities right. They're great things, but in reality, they come as fruits of a higher quest, not as ends in themselves. And unfortunately, too many of us today, just because we have so much available to us that makes life easy, comfortable, convenient, a lot more free time than people ever used to have, we think that, okay, happiness and personal fulfillment are the main goals, but they really aren't. So it's a narcissistic trend, really.
Self-indulgence is a big problem, I think, because, I mean, we have so many comforts. And I have to fight that in myself, you know. How much of what I'm doing today is, hey, I'm home, you know, it's my space, I can do this, I can watch this and do that, rather than think, hey, what would Bob like it? Would he like it if I said, hey, I added up all the business expenses for taxes for you today? I don't feel like doing that. I'd just much rather sit here and watch something on YouTube or do what I'm interested in. And it takes, I know for me, and I think we're all pretty much the same, we have to constantly prod ourselves to not be lazy about these things and to understand that we're going to get good results when we ask for God's help, admit that we need help, and watch his power come in and change you and motivate you to. And all it takes is a small effort sometimes to move mountains in a very big way.
And if you're considering getting married but putting it off for personal reasons, or if you're putting it off for an increasing pessimism you might have, and a guarded wariness about marriage because you have been in so many broken situations and where we have gotten away from God's standard of forever, marriage is forever, with obviously few exceptions the Bible makes. But if you're putting off marriage because you want to pursue a career first, or home ownership, you want to get a home, you want financial security before you get married, things like that, it's not a good trade-off. Because And it's showing that you're trying to take control of the situation. And that's what a lot of young folks do, and that's why they're waiting so long to get married. Or they're cohabitating because they don't want the commitment. So all of that is diversionary. What you should do is maybe get a job, but jump in there and trust God for your provision, and you'll be fine.
Fight the good fight.
There's a darkness in the soul. When the devil gets a hold, and he calls you out to play his game, there's a hardness in the heart. The moment that you start, and your tongue becomes a
Welcome back to The Music of Marriage with Bob and Evie, and our website, themusicofmarriage.com, all, you know, run it all together, themusicofmarriage.com, one big long word. And then we have our book there, which is How to Make Your Marriage Sing, and our songs there you can download, and podcasts. So share the podcasts with your friends, they're free. And we always pray and hope that something that we say will be encouraging to you and actually helpful to you. So this last segment here on the New World Disorder in your marriage, the whole idea is to try to analyze where is there disorder in my life personally and how is that creating disorder in my marriage. Where is there disorder in my world, coming from the quote-unquote top down? Analyze that disorder. Understand that you're actually under attack spiritually, and fight back for your marriage, for your own soul, for your own peace, and for people around you, because we need to use our voices to encourage one another to peace, really. What we just want is peace. We want that nice, happy feeling. So our marriage will not have any lack if, while under attack, we fight back, but we have the right source for our well-being.
Which really includes raising your standards above the cultures, because the cultural standards are rather low and irrational these days. So our standards have to conform to the highest standards, which are God's standards. And there are no standards higher than that. Any other standard outside of God's standards are always less than and never equal to God's. Therefore, they should never be used as standards. I mean, why would you, shoot for less than perfection? If you aim for less than perfection, you'll hit it, for sure.
Henry Ford said that.
Oh, Evelyn.
Right?
She's always got to rub it in. But to come to that point really is in line with this whole thing of transformation, which is really a daily process of dying to yourself, of shedding off old ways of thinking and doing things, and adopting new ways, biblical ways of thinking. And it's difficult to think in alignment with truth and counter erroneous beliefs without that kind of daily transformation. And we might make some tactical progress on our own or read some, helpful self-help articles, but that won't fundamentally change us. Bringing our beliefs and presuppositions in alignment with God's word enables us to view reality as He made it to be, rather than as we have made it to be or presume it to be. So, we can get comfortable with conformity to the world, but that's not what we're called to do. Is comfort isn't our main goal here. Conformity to the world is certainly not our main goal. To live to glorify God and enjoy Him forever is the main goal of life for everyone. But the church has kind of fallen away from that type of a thing, and R.C. Sproul has said it very well when he said what the church is doing today is they're trying to speak the language of God within the context of the language of the secular culture, and because of the bombardment of secular beliefs and practices, both languages are in our heads. Our languages are confused like a Tower of Babel. What it means to be changed or sanctified is to get rid of that godless language, that godless culture, and learn the language of God. You see, he's really, it's so true. And the issue beneath that is that Satan can't compete with the language of God. So what does he do? He marginalizes God's word by deceiving us in two susceptible areas, our emotions and our personal experience. In our day, these two gauges have been elevated by about everything else, really, and they're usually the final criterion of right and wrong. But Satan's strategy is to make us think that the revealed will of God and its application to our life is no match for our circumstances. See how wrong that is? So we set aside God's word and take refuge in what? The collective reasoning of fallen people. And that's why Sproul also added here that experience can and should teach us, but it can never be the final arbiter of right and wrong. That role belongs to our Creator alone, and the Word, His Word, gives us the standard by which we must live. So that was experience and feelings and all that stuff is not the arbiter of right and wrong. Our circumstances isn't the arbiter of right and wrong. It's God's Word and God's standard. And so the more we get to know His standard, like a bank teller who sees dollar bills, $10 bills, $5, $10, $20, $50, $100 come in so often that they can easily detect a counterfeit bill just because they've seen the real thing so much. That's the level we need to get. We need to be bankers of God's Word. And you'll be able to discern the difference between good and evil, of truth and lies, and things like that.
So hopefully you're somewhat encouraged, even though it is a discouraging time that we all live in many ways. We have to, it would be a lot easier if we could rewind the clock 70 years or 60 years. Probably there was a lot more going in our favor and supporting us in the marriages we're trying to have and the families we're trying to hold together. But we do have God's help, and that's what we always, that's our bottom line here at the Music of Marriage. Mm-hmm. It's the top line. And so if you want to check out, again, themusicofmarriage.com and podcasts, well, we try to put them up pretty soon after we are finished.
And the songs we've played today are downloadable on our website. And this last song called "I'll Be There" is a song we wrote that really talks about how God will be there through all of our needs and our circumstances, but also how we should be there for one another in the same way. And so we kind of fuse those two concepts.
It's a hard job, but somebody's got to do it.
Right. All right,
thanks,
folks,
for listening.
Have a nice week.
Thank you.
foundation we can build upon, one that will not crumble beneath the wings of God. When you see the rainbow spanning heaven's throne, remember, I'll be there to take you by the hand, walk 100 miles with you to a distant land. I'll carry you where you have gone as far. Are just some things, yeah, you just have to know. Whoa, these are just some things you just have.